It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
Hey everybody, thank you so much for checking us out. It's the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, all presented by Daily Joust. And of course, we are the one podcast here on the internet that you need to tune into if you're a daily fantasy player. Why? Because we make winning easy. We're out to help you make some money, and there's lots of it to go around in this industry. We've been doing well here on the podcast recently, and we're going to kind of do something a little bit different today. Let me introduce myself. I am Dan Bach, go by DB730 in the world of daily fantasy. You find me out there on most of the daily fantasy sites out there, so make sure you stop by and say hi in the chat rooms. But today on the podcast, what we're going to do, normally we kind of spend some time on industry news and then we kind of go into game analysis. Well, we're going to kind of like throw that out the window today because, we've got to do things different here on the podcast. We don't want it to get boring in the same thing. But our great sponsor here on the podcast, Daily Joust, they are running the King Richard tournaments. You've probably heard me talk about them here on the podcast. They're 50-50 formatted tournaments where 32 people start out, and then you go to 16, then to 8, then to 4, then to 2, and then you get your grand champion who now, after the stakes have been raised, win $120 on this last round to go along with a whole bunch of money before then. And, of course, a seat into Super Joust 3, which is actually going to be played in this very similar 50-50 Survivor-style format, but that's not going to be until the end of September. Now, I played the first one, and yours truly won it. Didn't play the second one, went back, said, I want some more of this action, and here I am in the finals. And who do we see across me except a very common visitor here to the podcast? His name is Roto Kevin, and we thought it would be a fun thing to bring him into the podcast, and the two of us will dissect baseball today here on the program, because, what better strategy is there than talking strategy with the guy who you're facing off for $120 with? Hey, Kevin, what's going on, buddy? Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Dan, thanks for having me.
Now, this 50-50 contest, I've actually done pretty well. Like I said, this is my second go-around here in the finals. And this tournament itself, I've actually done pretty well. I think I might have skated by in the first round. But before that, I've been near the top pretty much every single week. You pretty much are the opposite. So, you really got to like the format of tournament when you can put together average teams and still make it to the finals.
Starting the trash talk right away, Dan. I'm proud of you. you're absolutely right. I think I've been right on the cusp of the cut line every round. And I needed to sweat out the Dodger bullpen last night to get me a win to vault from third to second after Shane Victorino nearly ended me with a meaningless homer. So I love this game format. It's great on a single day format, the 50-50, but this bracket week, almost week-long tournament is a lot of fun. I'm really glad that the Daily Joust sweetened the pot with the extra $50 to sort of alleviate the rate concerns that there were around this tournament, and I think it's a lot of fun, and I'm glad to be in the final against such a worthy adversary as the King.
Well, the King Richard's going to be named the King Dan pretty soon if I win another one of these things. But it is a very cool format. And again, it's only $20 to enter. And like you say, each round, if you win 2 weeks or win 2 days, I should say, you've broken even. And then beyond that, with the extra $50 in the prize pool, a really, really nice tournament that they put together. So make sure you check that out. They usually run those starting on Friday. So after I take this one down tonight, you can try and get your get everybody else can try their chance at knocking me off come Friday. But let's look at some of the games today. And if you don't know about Roto Kevin, folks, he is, I'm going to kind of sing your praises here. He's killing it in baseball, especially over there on Daily Joust. If you look at Fantasy Feud, the new site that we publicize quite a bit, he's right atop the leaderboard over there. So baseball, he is, I would say, is his best sport. I don't think he would argue with that. and he's been highly successful this year so far. So we're going to go and we'll talk a little bit about the everything on Daily Joust, but we do want to remind other people who are listening who don't play there, A, you should, and B, let's say you're on Draft Street. Well, today's a pretty big day over there as well, as they have their first Draft Street Baseball Championship qualifier. So some of the information we obviously talk about here today is going to be relevant to other sites out there. But let's kick it off just kind of talking about the lineups. And normally what I do is I base my lineup, especially on a site like Daily Joust, where you only have one pitcher, is, you know, I get my pitcher, starting pitcher selected first and then go from there. Obviously, they're the most expensive player you're going to select, so it kind of helps you set your lineup. But this morning when I was starting to put my teams together, I noticed that normally I have like two pitchers that I'm willing to like roll the dice with. Today, the options are numerous. So give me a couple of guys that you're looking at with starting pitching today, and I'll go through a couple that I find interesting.
Well, when I looked at the pricing today, and I mean, Matt Cain jumps out at the top, but he's 340K, and I just don't think you can use him at that number. I'm gonna be digging a little deeper today. I mean, I have a list of seven. That's my preliminary list, but I like Tommy Malone in Oakland against the White Sox. The White Sox just can't hit lefties. They're 28th in the league, hitting .197. Malone can be had for just .205, and I mean, he's a Greg Maddux control guy. He's not going to strike out a ton of guys, but he's not going to walk anybody. And I mean, against a team like the White Sox that strikes out or hits home runs, you keep guys off the base paths, you got a pretty good chance to win there. Another guy that's struggled this year, but Max Scherzer, he gets Seattle, who, well, Phil Umber showed you how good they are. I mean, he's got an ERA near 8, but the current Seattle batters are hitting just .152 against him. 220K, that seems useful. I mean, even though his ERA is near 8, he's still striking out batters at a fine rate, 10.4 strikeouts per 9 innings. So, I mean, those are a couple of value guys. If you want to go to a bigger name, Josh Beckett gets the Twins, and well, my hometown team here have actually been hitting the ball far better than I thought they would. They're still a pretty terrible team, and Beckett faces off against the Twins' Nick Blackburn, who can't keep anything in the park. So, I mean, I think Beckett will get plenty of run support, and on a site like Joust, where you get a healthy 7 points for a win, focusing on a guy who's more likely than not to get a W is a fair strategy. And you know, current Twins are hitting just .233 against him, so those would be my three I'd throw at you.
You know, I'm looking up and down, and I thought about Tommy Malone too, because you're right, the fact that the White Sox can't hit lefties, it's right there. You know, it makes all the sense in the world. But the White Sox are playing so good right now, it's going to be tough to pull the trigger on that one. But I totally understand the reasoning on it, and I was going to also point out Josh Beckett. Now, if you want to go expensive guys here today, I think Gio against San Diego is a legit guy to go with here today, because, I mean, San Diego, remember how good Vance Worley looked against San Diego? I mean, Gio Gonzalez is a really good pitcher. Vance Worley is like an average pitcher. So, you know, he's at $300,000, though. That's way a little bit higher than I like to spend over there on Daily Joust. And you know, normally though, I'm willing to spend a little bit on pitchers, but there's just, you know, not a whole lot there in terms of great pitchers. I mean, do you trust a guy like Wainwright? I mean, I think he's better than we've seen this year. I don't really want to be the guy to kind of test it out and say this is the game that he makes his comeback. Same with Josh Johnson, another guy who historically has been good but hasn't been good this year. You know, eventually you think these guys are going to turn it around, but the question is, are you willing to risk it and call it on a certain day? I don't necessarily think I'm willing to do that. One guy to look at as well is Randy Wolf. Now, he's not really good, but if you look at his career numbers against the Astros, 2.98 ERA, a whip just a shade over 1 in 19 career starts, and he's actually 4-0 with an ERA of 1.08 in 6 starts as a Brewer. So even though he's not a great pitcher, when you talk about matchups, that's about as good of one as you're going to find. And when you talk about price, again, about as good as you're going to find at a starting pitching, as he's only at 179K. Now, again, I've got $120 in title of King John champion. Do I really want to put it on Randy Wolf? I haven't made that decision yet, but from a value perspective, he definitely is a guy who could surprise and you know, give you better numbers based on what you have to pay for. Let's look at first base. I'll give you my first guy that I'm really looking at here at first base is Adrian Gonzalez. You mentioned it just a minute ago. Nick Blackburn has trouble keeping the ball in the ballpark, and anytime Adrian Gonzalez gets to face off versus right-handed pitching, I'm a big fan of it. So I like Adrian Gonzalez as a definite play today. His price, 108 on Joust, seems pretty reasonable. So I'm more than willing to roll the dice with him in this one. So he's my top first base guy. Who do you like?
I'll take the guy hitting next to him in the order. I'll take Big Papi Ortiz. I mean, he's off to a great start. He's hitting 441 to open the year. 4-for-10 lifetime against Blackburn, and really you can't go wrong taking any batter against Blackburn.
No,
I mean occasionally he'll pull a rabbit out of the hat and throw a shutout at home. I've seen those games, and I'm not sure where they come from and why they don't show up more often. But I mean he's just an eminently hittable starter. Yeah.
Definitely. Second base, you know, this is an interesting position because, you know, the one thing I've noticed with Joust this year is last year there was a lot of salary differential from day to day. This year we haven't seen it. Like, I don't know what's up. I don't know if they changed their salary philosophy, if they're waiting for a certain component to kick in. But, you know, Ian Kinsler is sitting at 126, and he's been there for a long time. I actually really like him today against Hiroki Kuroda, but I don't think I'm going to spend that kind of money on second base. But that's, you know, it's kind of interesting to see because I remember last year this guy in particular, who is so streaky, was all the way down to a minimum salary, and then, like, 3 days later, you know, he'd have like 4 home runs in 3 days and he'd be back over 100K. And that's Dan Uggla. And yeah, you know, the thing that you run into with him is he is an absolute strikeout machine, but 375, 2 homers against Aaron Harang in his career. And I think he's due to have one of these Dan Uggla type monster games. And he's risky because there's a good chance you could end up with negatives if he doesn't make contact with the ball. But historically, he's done pretty well in making contact. So I think Dan Uggla is some guy I might be willing to roll the dice with at second base today.
I couldn't agree more with you, Dan. Uggla is my top second base. 88K on Daily Joust. Fair price. He's riding a 6-game hitting streak with 3 home runs. So, as you said, very streaky, but he's hot. Had success against Aaron Harang. I think that's where I have to go on Joust, just price and opportunity.
Absolutely. We move on to shortstop position, and one guy who's got the batter versus pitcher stats in his favor is Yanel Escobar, 7-for-14 versus Tommy Hunter, a couple of home runs, 93K on Joust. I know a lot of people are going to go this route, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think, heck, we saw it last night with Jose Uribe. You know, who in God's name would take Jose Uribe? But he had monster stats going into the game from against the batter versus pitcher. And guess what? He had like 4 or 5 hits last night. So I'm a big fan of the batter versus pitcher stats. And when they're skewed this much, Yanel Escobar has to be somebody everybody's going to target today. And they should be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the other guy I'd point to is Starlin Castro for the Cubs. I know he's a Cub and they don't hit the ball. But, I mean, you got Adam Wainwright opposing him, who's struggling to find the old Adam Wainwright. I mean, there've been flashes, but he's still quite hittable. Castro went 4-for-7 lifetime against him. He's 104K. He had a big game when they met just a week ago or so. So I mean, I think that's another option. He's also a threat to steal a base once he gets on there. So Escobar is probably the fillet on the menu, but Castro's a fair second choice.
Yeah, and but you know it's a kind of a tough decision to look at. I mean, because you got Escobar at 93K, and you could upgrade it a little bit to a Castro's only 104. I mean, Tulowitzki's getting up there at 116, but there's so much upside with a guy like Tulowitzki. But you know, I'm a big fan of batter versus pitcher, and I'm gonna certainly look that way. Give me your take on third base, Roto Kevin.
I'm diving into the bargain bin at third. I'm going with Matt Carpenter of St. Louis, who's actually playing first base, filling in for Berkman, who's on the DL. 2-for-3 against Samardzija, a small sample, not something that I directly base it on, but I mean he's getting regular at bats. That offense is hitting the ball pretty well, and I'm hoping the wind's blowing out to right.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of options to go with here, and that's not a bad one. I'm going to spend a little bit more and look to Evan Longoria. He has certainly been getting the job done with the Rays. I mean, you look at his game log, 9-5, 12, 22, 7. That's the last five games for him, and he's going against a pitcher that he's had a lot of success with, 4 for 10 in his career. He's at 108K. You know, I'm going to be willing to spend on him. I think he can definitely come through. But there's tons of value out there. I mean, even A-Rod against Hugh Darvish. I mean, it's somewhat questionable. Right-handed hitters have not done well at all against Darvish this year, so it probably doesn't make the most sense. But he did have a homer last night. Same with Uke against Nick Blackburn, who we've talked about. 5 for 15 in his career. He's sitting under 100K. You got Ryan Zimmerman versus Clayton Richard. If he's in the lineup, he's had some success. I mean, there's so many ways you can go at third base today, but Longo is looking like a guy who I'm willing to spend a little bit on. And you know what? I'm a Rays fan, so it's all right. You know, it doesn't hurt to kind of have somebody that you like and cheer for him as well. Let's go to outfield. We got three of them to fill. I'm going to throw a couple of them out there. I think if you talk value, I look to Seattle and Detroit. Brennan Bosch against Vargas. He's had a ton of great success against him, and at 80K, I think you need to find some value out there at the outfield position. So he's a guy I'm going to consider. Also like Carlos Gonzalez going against Kevin Correa. I thought he was a good play yesterday. That game got snowed out. Obviously, it's probably going to be pretty cold, which isn't necessarily lends itself to great hitting performances. But again, historically, he's been good. And let's face it, Cargo is an absolute star. So those are just a couple of outfielders that I'm taking a peek at for today. Give me a quick rundown on who you like as some outfielders for today.
You know, Bosch made my list, too. I won't belabor the point, but he's a bit of an oddity in that, I mean, he's a lefty facing a lefty, usually something you want to avoid. He actually hits about 60 points higher against lefties than he does righties, so I'm not sure what's going on there. The entire Detroit team is like that. They hit the opposite of what you'd think. I'm breaking the bank for Josh Hamilton today against Hiroki Kuroda. Going to cost me 136K, which is why I'm diving into the dumpster for a couple other positions, but the hottest guy on the planet. I mean, he's hitting 433 over the last week, homered in six of those games, I think, five or six of his last seven games. And Kuroda, God bless him, he's trying, but I think he's Father Time's caught up with him a bit. So I really, really like Hamilton. And then another guy that's hot right now, Alex Rios of Chicago. I mean, I know I gave you Tommy Malone to open, but 77K only, right? 11-game hit streak, back-to-back three-hit games. Just too much value there. Feels like a nice safe pick to give me five to 8 points, which allows me to kind of take a swing for the fences with my last one here, and that's Jonas Cespedes. 85K against Gavin Floyd, who's already served up four homers. And the thing I love about Cespedes is he doesn't get cheated. If you've seen him play, I mean, he swings out of his shoes. He's Vlad Guerrero new. What the hell? I'm like a 3-1 underdog in this match anyway, so I'm going to swing for the fences.
Well, that's definitely would apply with Jonas Cespedes. Cespedes, I can't even pronounce his name, but the thing about him, that's you're right, he doesn't get cheated, and there's a lot of upside with him. I mean, when you look at if he hits a home run, you know, he's going to pretty much give you double figures for the day. You're not really going to expect too many doubles probably from him. Last position I think is the most interesting one today, and that's the catching position, because there's a guy who clearly has the batter versus pitcher in his favor. I mean, that's Brian McCann, 11 for 20, two home runs, seven ribbies. I mean, he's got five doubles and two homers. He's got seven extra base hits and 20 at-bats. I mean, he seems like an absolute no-brainer. He's at 104K, so he's not an absolute killer. But you also got to find value. If you want to take all these 100K guys, then you're going to have crap for pitching. If I'm looking at value, again, I'm not sure if he's going to necessarily be behind the plate today. We'll have to check it out. But getting back to my point about salaries not really moving much, Jared Saltalamacchia, again, I don't think he's a great ball player, but he's had 12 fantasy points and 14 fantasy points in the last two games. He's got 6 hits and 9 at-bats. I mean, the guy is making great contact. He's certainly red hot at this point in time, and he's only for 63K. So I think depending on which way you want to go with starting pitching, Saltalamacchia, I think he's a good cheap option at catcher. Obviously, I'm a big fan of McCann if you want to go with a cheaper pitcher. Those are my two. Tell me your thoughts.
I mean, McCann is the free square on the board. Well, like you said, 104K. You know, a couple bargain guy, Rod Barajas in Pittsburgh. he's 5-for-12 with 2 home runs against the old man Jamie Moyer. But he's hitting 091. I mean, if you want to go another way, I don't know who's going to start for Boston, but Kelly Shopik has great numbers against Blackburn. He's 8-for-16 with 3 home runs. He's going to cost you 81K, and this is a guy that has almost 500 career strikeouts and fewer than 300 career hits. So I think I'm just going to pay the piper, put McCann in there, and cut corners somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm actually – now, looking at that, I'm sure Shopik will probably get the start over Saltalamacchia, but who knows? You never know what Bobby Valentine's going to do. Heck, he could put Salty at DH or something because he's hit well the last 2 weeks – or the last 2 games. So you have no idea what's going to happen, but you're absolutely right. I mean, McCann makes the most sense in the world, and I'm sure most people are going to have him in the lineup today. Well, it'll be interesting to see how our matchup goes, Kevin, because let's face it, you know, I think it's all going to come down to starting pitching. It looks like we're on the same idea on a lot of different positions. And again, is doing this the best strategy for victory? Probably not, but it's fun, and hopefully some of the listeners will get some strategy out of this. I want to quickly talk about overall strategy, because the one thing that I've really noticed this year is these batter versus pitcher numbers, like I mentioned with Jose Uribe. I mean, they're paying off this year. I mean, I remember last year them being good. I remember them being helpful, but you know, a lot of our daily plays here on Roto Grinders, and you write the column a couple times a week, a lot of those are based on these batter versus pitcher stats. And I got to say, they have just been money to start this year. And the fact that now on Roto Grinders, we're giving you that sort of information, I mean, to me, that should be the number one thing people look at on a day-to-day basis. Do you share in that? I think you do, based on looking at your rosters and how often you take guys with huge, you know, splits in their favor against the pitcher. But, I mean, are you like me? Have you noticed that this trend of the batter versus pitcher have really been paying off this year?
It's been a strong angle so far this year. Last year it ran hot and cold, but I think kind of what you have is managers have, you know, a more advanced analytics team that follow these stats more, so they put the players in the lineups. I mean, some of these part-timers like we just talked about, Kelly Shopik, I'm guessing he'll be in the lineup today based solely on his numbers against Blackburn. There's no real other reason to put him there. But, I mean, to me, it's the starting point. I mean, I think you touched on it a week or so ago on the podcast about, you know, it's really the one data point that tells you, you know, baseball's an individual sport played in a team environment. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's man versus man. Here's my best pitch. I dare you to hit it. And with pitchers and hitters, it's all about how well you pick up the ball coming out of the pitcher's hand. And different pitches, different motions, it's all different, but a pitcher's motion is going to stay about the same, and you know about where to look for that ball. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, if you see the ball well, that's probably going to bear itself out in strong batter versus pitcher splits. I mean, they're clearly not foolproof. You're often dealing with very small sample sizes, you know, a game, 2, 3, maybe 5. It's rare you get, you know, 10 games worth of data. And by then, that first game is probably so old, it's borderline irrelevant.
Yeah, and you know, you're right. It's not foolproof. I mean, yesterday was a perfect example. I mean, everybody and their sister had Mark Teixeira thinking he owns Derek Holland. I mean, he had a home run every 5 plate appearances. So, and then the day was over, and I think he finished with like -2 points. So I'm not pretending that it never fails. But you know, even from a sample size point of things, I mean, I sat and discussed this the other day with some guys at Roto Grinders is, you know, who would you rather have? Would you rather take the guy, I mean, if you had this information, who maybe it's only been four at-bats, but he's got three hits and two doubles, or would you rather take the superstar who's 0-for-8 against a certain pitcher? I mean, to me, the scenario is I'm going to take the guy who's had some success. To me, that, you know, even though it's a short sample size, I still think the success is means more than the quote-unquote failures, in a sense, even though there's more star power with him. So for me personally, not only is it the baseline, it's the thing that I base most of my decisions on. Obviously, there's got to be other factors in there. And, you know, one of these days we're going to see an over-under at Wrigley that's going to be sitting at about 15. And you're going to have to load up on Cubs or whoever their opponent is. But to me, I've just been really surprised with how successful that has been. Last kind of thoughts for you. Just talking about the baseball industry. Now, obviously, we're doing pretty well over here on Daily Joust. We both made the finals of the King Richard. But you've been really knocking it out of the park over there on Fantasy Feud. Now, I mentioned this yesterday. Or maybe I don't even know if I mentioned it on the podcast. I know I mentioned it in the forums on Roto Grinders. I had Philip Humber. I actually ended up winning that day, but I had him pitched a perfect game, 9 strikeouts, and had 14 points. You know, 14.8 points. Which, you know, there was a guy like Cody Ross who had like 2 doubles and 3 RBIs and finished with like 11. So, you know, that happens pretty common. The perfect game with 9 strikeouts hardly ever happens, and I just didn't think it paid off enough. Give me your kind of ticket to success over there on that site, because, like I say, you're on top of the leaderboard. Every time I look up, you're doing well in their multi-person tournaments. What strategy have you been employing on Fantasy Feud, one of the newest sites here to hit daily fantasy?
Well, I think you tangentially hit the nail on the head. It's all about the pitching, and devoting as little capital there as possible while minimizing risk. Because the scoring system, you get such little value for an inning pitch. It's half a point, and you lose a quarter point for every base runner. So it doesn't take long at all to completely torpedo a pitching performance, and a big fat negative number is going to be hard to overcome. So for me, it's been focusing on starting pitchers in its sub 100K range. You kind of have to skip the aces, unfortunately. I mean, I don't know if I want to give away all the pieces, but their relief pitcher slot, you can find tremendous value there. Yeah. And I'll just say in guys that are going to pitch more than one inning. So you can interpret that how you will.
You know, and the other thing that I've come to notice, I know exactly what you're talking about. I won't expand on it, but I'm sure people will figure it out soon enough, is I talked about kind of the lack of salary movement in some of the hitters on Joust, but over on their site, you know, they make it really interesting on you, because there has been a ton of movement in regards to the salaries, and I find it kind of entertaining to look at, because – you know, they throw some meatballs out there for you, you know, whether it's a Matt Holliday who's sitting way underpriced, or, you know, big stars who have been in slumps, and you look at them and say, ooh, you know, do I want to take this guy, or do I want to go with the, you know, Juan Uribe with the, you know, the incredible split stats? And then you say to yourself, do I really want to take Juan Uribe over Ryan Braun or something like that? I actually really like that component, because it makes you weigh the superstar versus the stats, which in most cases, the superstar is so much more expensive than the no-name with the good split stats. You're just going to go ahead and take the no-name because he's better value. I really enjoy that on their site. I think they've done a good job with that. But if you're a fan of having high-powered lineups with guys who are underperforming, you can definitely do that on their site that I've come to notice.
Yeah, you know, the part I really like is because the pricing moves so much, and not always with sound reasoning, but because it moves so much, it's a different puzzle every day, yeah. which really caters to the players that have the time to do their research and really mine through the the pricing database and find those values. I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think Matt Holliday was available in like 60K range, which was half the price of Matt Kemp. And
yeah,
I mean, Matt Kemp is on another planet right now, but you offer me Matt Holliday for half price, I'm going to jump on that.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I think they've done a really, really good job in launching a finished product that has, you know, it's something unique. And I think the unique part would be their salary structure and just how it kind of whipsaws all around it. And like I said, really provides a new puzzle to solve every day, which is a lot of fun.
I really like that, the way you spell it out there, a new puzzle to solve every day. That's a good way to look at it. So make sure, if you haven't checked them out, please go through our links and give them a try. They're one of the newer sites out there, and I think they've done a nice job. But tonight is our battle over on Daily Joust, the King Richard 50-50 contest, $120 on the line. And my first, because I know it's coming, Super Joust 3 entry, because I know I got to start racking these things up. I only have like 4 more months or so to compile my 5 up. But Kevin, best of luck again in our matchup, and thanks again for taking the time today. And we'll let everybody know tomorrow how this turns out.
Thanks, Dan. I'd offer you best of luck, but I don't think you're going to need it. So we'll catch up and enjoy the money.
Well, folks, that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. Thank you so much for checking out. Make sure you go over there and check out Daily Joust, the great sponsor of this podcast. Again, this is the 50-50 King Richard contest. The next one's going to start up on Friday. And I'll tell you what, I think they're one of the most fun kind of games you're going to find in the industry today. Only a simple $20 entry, and it'll last you a good number of days. And with a nice payoff at the end, again, just increase the prize pool an extra $50, and it doesn't even cost the player any more than it did before. So that's called giving back to the customer. So make sure you check them out. They're a great sponsor of the podcast. They are dailyjoust.com. And that's going to wrap up the show for us today. Again, thanks to Roto Kevin for coming on the show talking baseball with me today. We will return with more discussion of the industry. We'll get into some NBA tomorrow, as we'll have many more games to discuss. Please follow us on Twitter. It is at RotoGrinders. And go to our Facebook page, or you can please go to iTunes and subscribe to this podcast. It'll be with you each and every day. Till tomorrow, everybody, have yourself a great night, and we'll talk to you in the morning. See you, folks.